To open your copy of God's perfect word to Exodus chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Exodus chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. As you turn there tonight, I want to remind you to be in prayer for Pastor Jeremy as he graduates this week. Is that on Friday? That's on Friday. If you're interested in going to his graduation, if you would call the church office, and if we have enough people interested, we very well may take the church van to that event. And so, but either way, you be in prayer for him and thank God that the Lord has sustained him in a wonderful way and allowed him to get to this point of accomplishment. And in case you're wondering, yes, I did give him a passing grade so he can graduate this semester. And so he's going to make it. Partly just for selfish reasons, I want to put him to work without the distraction of school. Exodus chapter 1, I'm going to read here in a moment verses 6 through 10 and then pray for God's mercy as we study together tonight. Please stand in reverence for the reading of the perfect words of our sovereign God. Exodus chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, I step in this pulpit tonight with such a burden on my heart. And Lord, I pray that you help me to communicate the truth of this text and apply it to where we are today in such a way that you would be glorified and magnified, that Jesus Christ would be exalted. And Lord, I pray tonight that you work on hearts and minds, that we would take every thought captive in obedience to Christ, including our thoughts about motherhood, and our thoughts about children. And Lord, I pray for forgiveness tonight for the fact that we often want to say we believe the gospel and then pick and choose what else to believe. And Lord, we say tonight, I pray with a unified voice, you have spoken truth. May we believe it. May we peer in your word. And may we see what you call blessing. And may we say blessing. Lord, I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. What it must have been like to be an Israelite standing on that Egyptian soil as a slave. I mean, a people who were the people of the Lord, a people who had a heritage of revelation from God, a people who had promises from God that extended to the very beginning, and yet they find themselves a vast multitude of people standing on Egyptian soil and choking on brick dust. They are slaves. They are in bondage. Their lives are marked by a sense of torment, of difficulty, of challenge. They have strap marks across their back because of taskmasters that are driving them on. They are involved in a task of forced labor, and they are working for Pharaoh. There is no nobility in this cause other than the value of the work itself. For they work for one who is a rebel against the promises of God and is a rebel against the purposes of God. And yet they work nonetheless. And if they do not, they feel the strap on their back. They feel the beatings on their body. And there they are in Egyptian soil as slaves, gasping for air in the midst of the dust of another project. The indignity that they must have felt as a people who claim the name of the people of the Lord. And then we look at Exodus chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. And we see this. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. Immediately we see that whatever's going on here in Exodus, it marks a turning point. There is the passing of a generation. Joseph is dead. His brothers are dead. The people of that generation are dead. Joseph's faithfulness has passed away in the eyes of the Egyptians, as we're going to see with this new Egyptian king. A generation has passed, but something incredible has happened. And that is this promise that started out as a promise to one man and then grew into a promise to a family of some 70 people. Now is marked by a people who had become a vast multitude. They are not a family, but they are a people from 1 to 70 and now to some probably about 2 million people. But things have changed. Joseph is dead. And so is his generation. And then we look at verse 7. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so the land was filled with them. Now, this is a transitional verse here that covers almost 400 years of God's faithfulness. We go from Joseph launching all the way out to the people in the midst of this Egyptian bondage. And yet we see that the people are vast. There is a multitude of them. They have been growing. They have been getting larger and larger. And now some perhaps 2 million strong. And yet for what? For what? 2 million strong to be slaves? 2 million strong to suffer torment? 2 million strong to live a life of difficulty? And you can imagine the babies being born and the mothers and fathers peering on those babies, knowing that if nothing changes, that baby will feel the strap across its back, will never accomplish anything in a sense of success in life. They will be a slave and they will know the burden and difficulty of what it means to be a slave in Egypt. For what have they multiplied? You can imagine the way the people thought. You can imagine the hearts and the attitudes that had crept in. I can just hear them now. Someone says, yes, but remember the Bible says to be fruitful and multiply. Remember that God has made a promise, and the promise is that we would multiply. You remember God's word to Abraham? Abram at that time, Genesis 12:2, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. In other words, it won't just be you, Abram. I'm going to make you a great and mighty people. And then over in Genesis 17, verse 5 through 7, it says this. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And somebody would have certainly said, remember the promise. The fact that there are so many people is a mark of the favor of God. And yet, can you imagine the sneer? What good does an ancient promise do me when I'm staring at Pharaoh and his minions? What good will the ancient promise do me? Stories of old, when this child that I bring into this world is killed at the hands of these awful rebels against the purposes of God. It seems so distant and it seems so irrelevant. Those words faded into the background in the face of Pharaoh and his minions, and it certainly seemed as though to some that the promise that God had made had been buried.